Now we're continuing with the Gemara, Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Me'ein Shmona Esrei. Okay, so that's the middle position in the Mishnah of B'chol Yom B'Yom. What is the basic obligation of a person with regard to Tefillah? So Rabbi Yeshua says that the basic chiyuv doesn't even go beyond the Me'ein. Me'ein is sufficient, so to speak. As we explained, based on the Me'iri, that it means that he has a certain tier there, a certain preoccupation, even though he can concentrate. But that's sufficient. He doesn't need a special matir for Me'ein. Me'ein is incorporated in the basic takana of tefillah. Of course, the question is, what is Me'ein? How do you fulfill the Me'ein? So the Gemara asks the question, my Me'ein Shmon Esrei. What exactly is Me'ein Shmon Esrei? So we have a machlokas. Rav Omar, Me'ein called Bracha Ubracha. Rav says, it is Me'ein called Bracha Ubracha. Ushmuel, well, before we get to Shmuel, Rav is basically saying that you still have 18 blessings, or 19. But what you do is you can reduce the amount of words in the bracha. So it's a Me'ein. In other words, he's not willing to make that kind of a structural change. In the Shmon Esrei, you have to have brachos, 18 brachos. So you still do, but each bracha can be shortened. They don't seem that long to begin with, but seriously, but how can they be shortened? So let's get Siddurim here. So Rashi says, Me'ein called bracha, Omer Bekotzer. He says it briefly. That is, he says each bracha briefly. Umevarech al kol achas v'yachas, but he is mevarech. He says the bracha on each one. So let's take a look. How would we do it, for example? Ritva gives an illustration of how you would do it, according to Rav. That's in the Ritva. My Me'ein Shmon Esrei, Rav Me'ein called Bracha Bracha, Koloma, Omron Bekotzer, he says them abbreviatedly, Kagon, Ata Chonein Liodam Das, Baruch Atah Hashem, Chonein Hadas, V'chein Kulam. We're going through some of the brachas now to see how we would be makatzer. In Barech Aleinu Hashem Elokeinu, Es Hashanah Hazos. I would say you could probably leave out Hashem Elokeinu and just say Baruch Aleinu Es Hashanah Hazos, Baruch Atah Hashem, Avarech Hashanim. We don't use the word Parnasa. It's interesting because it's not structured in the personal. Person wants as a, it's structured in general. We always go to the universal, the good of the tzibur, and as a result of that, if it's good for the, that's a different way of looking at things. Very, very pertinent today. Each person, you know, generally he doesn't care about what's going on as long as he can make a killing. That's all that matters. But you see what happens when the whole system falls apart. It's bad for everybody. The system heals itself and is good. In general, it'll be good for, you know, not necessarily everybody. That's something else, but. That's what you're praying for. First and foremost, when you think about something, it should be a good economy. All right, now that you've prayed for a good, because if it's a bad economy, it's going to be bad. So you want a good economy. Now you have specific things in mind. You ask for your specifics. Take a look at the Kabbalah Shofar Gadol L'Chayrusenu. How would we make it, according to Rav, a bracha katsara? It's not so simple because it has, you know, a few different aspects to it. Should we say Tekah B'Shofar Gadol L'Chayr Hussainu, Baruch Atah Hashem Makaveis Nidchei Amo Yisrael? Every bracha, it's interesting. Now you know the basic structure of the bracha. Every bracha has the basic request, because it's a bakasha, and an elaboration. There's a little bit of an elaboration. Because of this, you can have the concept of Me'ein. Okay? Me'ein called bracha bracha, because Me'ein means take away the elaboration and just go to the basic request. That's why it's important to know what is the basic request and what's the elaboration. Okay? Generally, it would seem that whatever the chasima is, you know, reflection of what the basic request is. So the basic request of that bracha is kibbutz golios. If you're going to say tekah b'shofar gadol l'chayr hussainu, that's perhaps the elaboration. But the if the essence is the kibbutz golios, then I would say you'd have to start kapsenu yachad me'aba kamfos aretz. And then brought the Shem Kamsa. In Hoshiva Shov Tein Kvar Rishona, it seems, see that, it's interesting, some of the brachos begin with the request, and then there's elaboration. Some of them begin with the elaboration, and then it comes to the request. It's not so simple. It seems to me that in this bracha, of course, Moloch Aleinu, Atar Hashem Levatcha, that God alone should rule over us. Well, what do we mean? How is God going to rule over us? That we're not going to have rulers? How's it going to work? It means that we have our own shoftim, you restore the system through the system. It's God's rule. That's God's rule. We don't mean literally that God's going to rule over us. We mean when we're freed from foreign domination and the Torah system is restored. So then we're going to live on the God system without any intervention. So if that's the case, Hashiva Shoftani Kvar Shon is what we really want. The elaboration is then God will be our ruler. Baruch Hashem Melechayv Tzedakah Mishpat. If you take a look at the Ritva now, what I've been saying is like this. What I've been saying is that each of the middle brachos are request brachos, which also contain an elaboration on a theme. And then, okay, so that's the way it ought to be said. But if you're pressed, then you have to do me'ain. So you do me'ain called bracha bracha, which means the essence of each bracha, and the chasima, the bracha part. Well, it seems to me that you would choose the request and leave out the elaboration. But take a look at the Ritva. Because he says, see, if you take a look at the Atachonim Liodam Das, there's a reversal from the normal pattern. That is, in general, most of the brachos begin with the request. Hashiva, Hashivein Ravino Zar Secha. That's a request. Okay? Then Slach Lono Vinikichatanu. Right? Then you say, Kimolche Avos Leachata. You follow? You're starting off with the request. Revi Anyenu. Okay? Uga Aleinu. I mean, there it's the request is for Geula. See our affliction and redeem us. Refa'enu Hashem. Most of the time it begins with the thing you're asking for. But in the Bracha of Das, it starts off the other way. So the request comes afterwards. So why is the Ritva saying this? Because if you do it this way, then you're not making the request. You're just saying that Hashem is chonen das. Okay, but that's a shevach. To say that, it seems to me, is the shevach. But the essence, it would seem to me, is that the person makes his petition. Where's the petition? Rashi doesn't give us an example. He just says, Omer Bekotzer, Umavarach al kolachas v'yachas. He says it briefly, and then he says the bracha. My natural thought is, he extracts the essence. The essence is the request. It's hard for me to imagine. What would be the point? And what does he mean Bekotzer? What do you leave out? You leave out that which is not essential. What's not essential is the elaboration. Ushmur laver havinenu. Hashem Elokeinu. Ladas drachecha. Umolus levavenu. Liaroscha. Avatislach lanu. You see from Shmuel, by the way, that Shmuel maintains the request. The essence is the request. Havinenu. Grant us Havana. Grant us understanding. Everything here is in the form of request. Ladas drachecha, umoles levavenu, liyarascha. That's to bring us back to Torah, v'tislach lanu. Well, take a look at Rashi. Havinenu v'enu mevarach elo shomea tefillah. B'chol ha-brachos, shebein shalosh rishonos l'shalosh achronos. L'shalosh achronos. And then he explains, havinenu keneged atachonein. Each one is keneged. He has a different idea, obviously, of incorporating everything into one bracha, and each line corresponds to one of the requests. And he shows, Havinenu kineged atachonein, Moles lovenu keneged hashivenu, lisloach lanu keneged slach lanu, lios geulam keneged geula, v'chein kulam. Binos artzecha losho nove, kemo binos desha yar bitzeni, v'hu keneged birkas hashanam. Okay, the only one that's a major controversy is the next one, v'atom al datcha, which we'll take up. What is the meaning of that? However, before we get into that, what's the machlokas? What's that issue over here? What determines, what's the point? What are they arguing about? Bear in mind another question, when Shmuel says Havinenu, it would seem that Rav holds Me'enkel Bracha Bracha. So he seems to reject Havinenu. He doesn't allow you to say that. He doesn't recognize it. Okay. Shmuel says you can't, what, does Shmuel say you can say Havinenu? Or you must, in other words, which Shmuel say, if you want, it could be, you could say, Me'ein kol bracha bracha, just that you don't have to, you could do, Havinenu is even shorter. So, for example, as we will learn, there are times when you can't say Havinenu. And we're going to, that's the next Gemara. Which Shmuel say that you could then do like Rav? Or no, in other words, is it absolute? He holds that you could just do Havinenu, and that's, or nothing at all? Or can you, he's just saying that you don't have to do Me'ein kol bracha bracha. You can do Havinenu. You want to? He would say, in other words, because Rav says you can't. You got to say every bracha. You can shorten it. You can't do Havinenu. But Shmuel, does he say that he disagrees? You can't do it that way. You got to do Havinenu, or he says you can do it that way, but you can do it Havinenu, which is even shorter. All right, we'll leave that aside for the time being. First question is though, well, what's the machlokas here? What is this? What's the underpinning, so to speak? In other words, it's being suggested that. How do you approach the subject of kitzer, of being makatzer, of reducing? How do you make it sure? What are you doing? Well, you have to understand what the essence is. Now, the first three and the last three, you cannot make any changes, because then you're dealing with shevach. So shevach doesn't lend itself. This is the shevach, and they put together the appropriate shevach. So you can't shorten that. But here we're not in shevach anymore. Here we're asking for things. So when it comes to asking for things, apparently there's a proper way to do it. No one's denying that. But you can make it shorter. You can make a shorter request. It's still the request. So as far as Rav is concerned, well, now what's the essence of the middle section? Is the essence the brachos? The essence is the brachos. You have to have 13 brachos of request. It's just that every bracha revolves around a need of man. A need of man. But you take that need of man, and then you formulate it into a shevach. So the essence is the shevach. So really, you have, the truth of the matter is, you have every both part of Shmona Esrei is shevach. First three are shevach, the last three is hodayah, but that's another form of shevach. The middle one's too a shevach. Shmona Esrei shevach l'Hashem. Except the theme of the middle brachos is being meshabeach Hashem relative to what? You can't, you know, what do you pray? Relative to the fact that I have needs. So this satisfies the idea that you can, right? So to speak, two birds with one stone. In other words, you have needs and now you have a right to request them. But the real essence is that as a result of that, you come to Akar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's the Chanin Hadas. But that's the essence. Again, according to Rav, the essence of the middle section is really Shevach in a different form. Okay? So if you're lacking that, you're lacking in the Bracha. You have to have the Bracha. The Bracha is Shevach Lashem. Except, it's a different kind of Shevach. It's the Shevach that is expressed in recognition of the fact that God provides us with our basic needs. Okay, so you make the request for your basic need, right? But without the shevach, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. The mitzvah is really the shevach. Of course, as we said, this satisfies two things. First of all, it enables you to ask for your needs, but that's not the essence. The essence is that as a result of enunciating your need, you're meshabeach Hashem. According to Shmuel, then, it would turn out that the middle section is not essentially shevach. Shevach is the first three, the last three. The middle ones is that the Gavra is Shoel Tzrachav. The Rambam, in Hilchos Tefilah Paragav Halacha Beis, in the middle, Elachiyav Mitzvah Zu Kachu. The Chiyav of this mitzvah is as follows. Sheyoda Mispalel Umischanein B'chol Yom. That a person should be Mispalel and Mischanein. Well, when he says Mispalel and Mischanein, he's really referring to the requesting part. That's what Tefilah is. It's really Omid Lifnei Hashem to make petitions, not just not to be Omid Lifnei Hashem. And Magid Shifcho Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Magid Shifcho is because you need permission. That's how it starts. There's a protocol. So you begin with Shevach. V'achakach Shoel Tzrachav. Shu Tzarchlam B'vakasho B'tchina. And afterwards, he's a Shoel Tzrachav. With Bakasha and Tchina. V'achakach no saying Shevach V'adere L'Hashem. You see, the Rama refers to the last three as being Shevach too. Shevach V'adaya. Vaidaya is a form of Shevach. For the good that God has bestowed upon him, each one according to his ability. Ah, but you see, in the middle section, the essence is really Shel Tzrachav. That would seem to be more in line with, well, we paskin like Shmuel. It would seem to be in line with the way we're explaining Shmuel, that the essence is not Shevach. And they're built, but the Shvachos are built about, are revolve around the fact that God provides man with his needs. Indeed, as David is saying, this would help us to understand the Ritva's position that the essence of the Mimon Shevach. So you just enunciate that God provides the das, even if you didn't ask for it this time. Even if you didn't. You see, the question I had was, it just seemed to me that the essence of Shaya Shayla Sracha went out of Akasha. No, but if you hold like Rav, if that's correct according to Rav, then this makes sense. Shmuel says the essence is Shayla Sracha. So therefore, he fulfills the requirement that gives him permission to be Makatzer. Because each one, you see, the language of each one is the language of a request. Havineinu. Molas livaveinu. You're asking for something. Then, of course, it has to be in the Tzura of a Bracha. The way in which it's expressed has to be in the Tzura of a Bracha. So after you put them all together, then Shomei Tefillah. Because the essence is really what? Shelo Strachov. So what's the Shevach that I'm obligated to give for the expression of Shelo's permission? Shomei Tefillah, that God hears Tefillah. See, of course, according to Shmuel, when you say the regular Shmoneh Esrei, when you're not Makatzer, so then you enunciate each one, of course that's better. And then the Shevach to Hashem is with regard to the particular, because you're Chonin Hadas. So of course that incorporates, that's better. I mean, it's in other words, just a rough analogy. Shomei Tefillah as opposed to Chonin Hadas. Shomei Tefillah is generic. That would be like a Shahakol. If a person doesn't know that this thing is a fruit, but he says Shahakol. I mean, Shahakol works, you see? So here, when he can't enunciate each one, since the essence is that it's Mechuyev to be Shel Tzrachav, that's the Chiyev. The Chiyev is Shel Tzrachav. So then he puts them all together. So then he has to say, he has to get Bichosem with Shevach. The Shevach then would have to be Shomei Tefillah. Because you're dealing with each one as a particular. You can't pick out one over the other. So Shomei Tefillah. But that's for the other. Of course. The next issue we're going to take up is with regard to the Havinenus. Everything in Havinenu must correspond to one of the Yitches. You see, Rashi is explaining that. That's the point. Okay. Now, V'hatoim al datcha. Okay. If you take a look at the Rabbeinu Yonah, this would be on page 34 of our booklets. Now, V'hatoim al datcha. What does that correspond to? So Rashi says, Ha'ovrim al dvarecha. Those who violate your commands. So it would seem to be talking about those who are sinners. Yishpotu should be judged. That's meaning keneged tzedaka u'mishpat. So Rashi is saying it's keneged hashiva shavtenik varishona. V'yotzenik latchila. Take a look at the bracha itself. Does that really sound so smooth? What Rashi just said? Because Rashi says that it's keneged tzedakah u'mishpat. So Rashi's first pshat is that it's a reference to Ovrim, al dvarecha. That's what it's referring to. So they are, but they are in the sense that they sin. So sinners are erring, they're making a mistake, because they're sinners, it's talking about. Yishpotu, or they should be judged. So that's, he says, that corresponds to Melech Oev Tzedakah Mishpat. If you take a look at the bracha itself, there's nothing in there that seems to be a request that those who sin should be punished. Because it says, Hashiva Shofteni Kvar Rishona, we were asking for the shof, the judges, V'yoatzeinu, interesting, the V'yoatzeinu, advisors. You see that the great Talmidei Chachamim, they're not just knowledgeable in halacha, but in all areas of life, to give us guidance, advice, and then remove from us the groaning and the suffering, and rule over us alone, levatcha, with mercy and rachamim, v'tzad kenim ha-mishpat. And we should be found righteous in judgment. So it's about mishpat. But it's not clear. This is what will emerge from the discussion of the Rishonim, that it's not really clear what we're asking for over here. What's the theme of this bracha? Now, Lashon Acher. Another reason. So you see, it's complicated, because what do you have to have another possibility over here? Va'atoim b'mishpat al daitcha yishpotu. Here it's a reference to those who are in mishpat. Heshiva, hashivim l'lamdam lishpot kidvarecha. In other words, the mishpat should be Torah, not their own opinions. Lishpot kidvarecha. V'chein ika, nirali v'chein bahag. Everybody agrees that it's corresponding to this bracha. Okay? The question is, how does it correspond to the bracha? Both Lashonos and Rashi say it's corresponding to the bracha of Melech Oev Tzedakah Mishpat. But now, how do these few words that you're saying, how does it fit? So the first expression was that the Toam, the ones who violate your word, they should be judged. That's the essence. The second version is that the ones who are not, it's not talking about transgression in the ordinary sense, but it's talking about a much more subtle form of corruption of the system itself. That the judges, that's a big problem. You know, the judges sometimes are on a very low level. And so then you don't have mishpat, even if they're not intentionally corrupt. But if they're lacking in Torah knowledge, so then what you're getting is not their decisions and so on and so forth. It's not a true reflection of Torah. Rashi has two possibilities in terms of what the meaning, how the bracha of Vahatoam al Daitcha, what did the words mean? Because it's a little bit cryptic. And how do they correspond to the bracha of Melech Oev Tzedakah Mishpat? Now, in the first one, it's a reference to those who violate God's will, Yishpotu, should be judged, and that corresponds to Melech Oev Tzedakah Mishpat. In the second one, it's a different play on the words, so if that's the, but it comes to it results in a different meaning of what you're praying for. The question is, what exactly are we praying for? So that's what you have to explain. Not just that it could refer to this or could refer to that, but there's going to be a difference in terms of what we're praying for. The second one is that it's a reference to the judges who are mistakes. It's a prayer for the elimination of through ignorance. And people should be taught, hashivim, teach them, lamdam, that we should elevate a generation of people that really know the Torah with a tremendous accuracy. So that's a completely different way, but that also corresponds. So how can they both correspond? There's a machlokas, then that leads you to a machlokas. All right, before we go further, with regard to the position of Rav, who says that tefillah katzara, I'm sorry, me'ein shmon esrei is not havinenu, but it's me'ein kol brachu bracha. So we saw the Ritva, and the Ritva gave an example that atachonein liyadam das, bracha tarashem chonein adas. So our question was, but where's the bakasha? And we sort of worked out a svara that for him the essence is the shevach of the MCO. So even if you don't make the request, which was a difficult approach, that is to say, our idea was that even if you say Me'ain kol bracha u'bracha, but the essence of the emtzi'os is the bakasha. So you have to include the bakasha. However, we have the Or Zeruah here who says, he brings down a pirish, would appear a pirish for Ben Hananel. I'm not sure if that's the case. Maske gvuras rishonos, kesidron, he's talking about Rav's position. And how you do me'ain yutches, v'omer bracha revius. Then so that's basically the way, you know, which first intuition makes, yeah, and he says that's the way it has to be, that the essence of each of the intermediary ones is the request, except we said there's the request and the elaboration. So me'ain called brachu bracha means that you remove the elaboration part of it, the shevach part of it, you see, and you keep it down to the minimum. But he says the minimum has to include a bracha in the particular. That is, you can't just say shemei tefillah, but the essence of the middle ones. Well, it goes along with the idea that the essence are really shevach Lashem. Tvila Shevach Lashem, except Bakasha is a new medium for Shevach Lashem. So, but you have to make the Bakasha. You make the Bakasha, and then you praise God in accordance with that Bakasha. It's more difficult to accept the Ritva, assuming that the Ritva meant it literally. I mean, that you should include me'ain kol bracha u'bracha, merely the praise, atachonein li'adam das, without the request. And that's the way it appears from the Ritva. That would be me'ain. So then you're going to have to say that the whole essence of the middle ones is really shevach. And if a person omitted the request, he was yotze. That is very difficult to say. Rather say that the essence of the middle ones is the request. Except, along with the request, must come the shevach. That is, the Shevach is intrinsically connected to every request, and therefore it can't be bundled up. You can't bundle it together. And they just say Shemei Tefillah, as the other side has. You can't have a Havineinu. You must have the Shevach connected to the request. But without the request, it doesn't get off the ground. It's not just an opportunity. You see? That according to this, you can't say that. It's at the Chanadam Das, and then just say Bracha Hashem Chanadam Das. For what? Well, what's the matir of the bracha? On what? The matir of the bracha, the engine of the bracha, is the fact that I'm making a request. Without that fact that I'm making a request, then I'm just, it could be a bracha levatela. That's why this makes more sense. Whether indeed that's what the Ritva meant, maybe it was just you know, written down that way. Whatever, I don't know. But I'm just saying, if he didn't mean, maybe he meant that you have to start off with atachonim v'chaneinu mitcha. Maybe he meant that. But he didn't, although...
It's very concisely written.
Very concisely written and so forth. So it's not really, I'm not really sure. There's not enough words from the Ritva to make a definitive conclusion as to what his position was. I would say, in summation, that the idea of me'ein kol bracha u'bracha is easier to understand, according to the Or Zeruah, that is... that everybody agrees that the objective of the middle ones is to place one's requests. You see? The only thing is, are we saying that each and every request has to have its own particular shevach attached to it? Without that shevach attached to it, you can't do it. Or no, the gavra has a right to be shol tzarachav, and it has to be in the format of bracha, so then, shemei tefillah. That's the essence. Did you do the Rashi? All right, now we're continuing where we left off. With the particular statement in Havineinu of the Hatom al Datecha, which Rashi says corresponds to the bracha of Melech Oiv Tzedakah Mishpat. But what exactly is the bakasha over here? Hatom al Datecha Yishpotu. So Rashi gives two explanations. The first one is that it's a reference to the Ovrim al Dvarecha, sinners who violate the Torah. And the tefillah is yishpotu. They should be judged. Now the second one is...
Excuse me, Rabbi.
Should be judged. That's the basic idea. Then Rashi says that it's a reference to the Toam B'Mishpat. Al-Daitcha Yish Potu. Al-Daitcha really doesn't modify the Toam, but rather it modifies the judges, which is a prayer that the judges of Israel should be uplifted, they should be restored, they should learn, they should be, we should have good judges, basically, who can judge us properly according to the Torah. L'lamdam lishpot kidvarecha. L'lamdam lishpot kidvarecha. Teach them to judge properly. V'chein ikar. Okay? That's what Rashi says, it appears to him as the preferred one. There's two aspects to Mishpat. The way I'd sum it up is that it's a prayer for the restoration of Mishpat. That's one of the things that we're missing in this. I mean, a lot of the bakashos in the middle section pertain to Jewish existence in exile. There, right? Samach David, Reino V'Yanyeno, right? Reverberating, V'Goaleno, Geula. So they didn't say that when they were safely in the land and everything was good. There's no place. What do you mean? To return, restoring us. Makabe Tzidchayam Yisrael. To restore the dispersed. But it's clearly our tefillah that we have today is geared to the exile. I mean, there are other brachos in there that are, what's the word? Universal, I would say. For all times and places, Rifa'enu. That has nothing to do with the exile. Baruch Aleinu and so forth. Slach lanu kichatanu, that's always the case. But other brachos, a good number of the brachos revolve around the fact that we're in exile. Okay? So, we're asking for a restoration of the judges, of the judicial system. But what seems to be the issue is that what is the idea behind it, so to speak? What is it? What aspect? I mean, of course, it's good to have Mishpat. What aspect are we really concerned about? What's the rectification, so to speak? So in the first shot, but that's because there are two elements to a Mishpat. One is the practical consequences, the punishment. No, there's one function is the punishment of the sinners. That's a practical aspect. The second one is that it's more than that. It's not just the punishment that sinners should be punished, but that the entire nation should live in accordance with the Torah laws, guidance, direction, paskening Ashayla correctly. It's not always a matter of punishing sinners. What about the civil suits, adjudication, and so on and so forth? So that's the level of our existence, that we're in a higher level of existence when we have the judges, and then we can live fully in accordance with Torah law. That's the enactment of Torah law. So that's the first pshat is basically referring to that those who violate the Torah should be punished, should get their punishments. That's why we need the restoration, because that's one of the functions. That's not the same thing. That's not the same idea as v'lam al shinim. Obviously, it's not the same. V'lam al shinim. We're not praying that these people should be destroyed. The malshinim is a separate case. That's the those who seek to seduce the Jews into heresy. So that's a different kind of a problem, and there we pray for their destruction. Now, here, however, it's something else. It's the restoration of Torah law. The Torah law should be restored. As it's not today, it's not enforced today. People observe it voluntarily. Many people just flaunt it. Most of the Jews do not observe Torah law. So it's really a prayer for the restoration of Torah law. And those who violate it should be punished. That's the first pshat. Second pshat, Rashi says it's a reference to the essence. The essence is not, that's an accident, so to speak. That's a particular that the violators will be punished. But the essence is that the judges should expound the Torah and make judgments of the Torah and lead us in the correct paths of Torah. You know, you should always ask for the... It's interesting, a person should always ask for something in the most appropriate way. mostly to explain the significance. You see, that's, if you take a look at the middle ones, they all have certain elaborations to them. So a person, when he asks for something, shouldn't just ask, he should really think and understand to the best of his ability what he's asking for and why it's so important. Okay, now we turn to Rabbeinu Yonah. It's on page 34 in our booklets. Vatoam b'datcha yishpotu kaloma osam shehem toam al daitcha yishpotu. Those who don't follow your will, it seems to be like the first part of Rashi, should be judged lo al pi mazolam, not in accordance with the mazolam, I guess would mean like the natural. Now, we're not just praying for natural consequences. But that's God, should judge them. And if their fortune, so to speak. Not that we believe in. By mazel, it means circumstantial.
Laws of nature.
Laws of nature, yeah. Well, when we speak about each person having a certain mazel, it's not in the sense that ordinary people believe, like luck. It's not luck. It just means that there are certain natural factors. Each person comes into being in a certain, with certain skills, with certain talents, in a certain situation, and so on and so forth. So that's the deck, the deck of cards that you dealt with. That's your mazel. So if there are circumstances for tov, tapoch oso l'ra, so you should, God should make it into bad. V'chein gorsen b'nischos hamdiyokos. V'atoam b'daitcha tishpetu. Uwe Yerushalmi Gamkein Omer Bedaitcha Tishpetem. Basically, this would seem to be in line with the first period of Rashi. Punished. Okay. Fakashal is a pirush. But this is difficult. Now, this explanation. Tekivan da Havinenu Humein Shmona Esrei. Because since Havinenu is akin to Shmona Esrei, in Cain, Mahu Hashaychus Sheyesh Lazeh, in Birkas Hashiva Shofteinu Shuknegda. She says, what does this have to do with the bracha of Hashiva Shofteinu Kvar Yishana? That's his problem. Because where, when you read that bracha, do you have that idea? That doesn't seem to be there. Hashiva Shofteinu Kvar Yishana, restore our judges as at first, V'yoatzeinu Kvatchim thing, as of old, basically. V'yoatzeinu Kvatchilo. V'hotzim meni yogam v'nacha, and remove from us the groaning, despair. V'malocha leinu, mehira, atar Hashem levadcha. All right, there's different nischos. Okay, but basically, these are the components. Let's look at the components. Because at first glance, it isn't really clear what one thing has to do. What's the main theme? Because first we're asking specifically the request. So you have to have your specific request. What is it you're asking for? Then you have an elaboration. So the specific is the restoration of the old-time judges, the ones that were Yo'an V'Yo'atzeinu, they're the great Talmid Chacham that were masters of the Masorah. Then it seems a separate thing. Remove the burdens and oppression, sorrow and groan. Yeah, it's not clear. So what does that have to do with it? That's not the first thing that comes to your mind. If I were to ask you to compose this bracha with a little bit of elaboration, I don't know that we put the idea of the removing of the burden and the groan, that type of thing, the suffering. That seems to be more connected with the Reino V'Yanyenu V'Riva Reino, our affliction. Yeah, there is a bracha because the Jews are in an afflicted state, in the exile. So that's a bracha for the Geula, that we should be... That's oppression. The Jews have always been oppressed and persecuted. So, our affliction. But over here, this seems to be a different theme. So what does it have to do with V'Hosim Eno Yogam V'Nacha? then it's a Moloch Aleinu, Mehera, and then you should rule over us alone, b'chesed uverachamim, with mercy and compassion, b'tzadikenu b'mishpat, and we should be found righteous in judgment. Now, b'tzadikenu b'mishpat, I understand, because you're talking about the restoration of justice. So we should live in accordance with justice. We should be righteous people. As a result of the restoration of the true judges, we'll be living in accordance. That's fine. And then you have the chasima, melech ha'ev tzedakah mishpat. But what's the main thing? The middle part is not really that clear how it finds its way over here. Are we saying that the absence of good, the good judges, is the cause for the groaning and the burdens that we experience? Well, what is that? How? That's the question. The point. Because you see, when they had Shmuel, it is true that, you know, like there is an expression of watch out what you pray for. No, because there were times when the judges, when you had judges like Shmuel, who really enforced the halacha properly and strictly, and the Jews began to groan from that. That was what Hashem said. Then they requested a king, and let him judge us. And Shmuel was very upset, and God said, "Don't be upset. It's not you that they've despised, but me." So, if that's the case, well, you know, you can raise the question. We're praying for the restoration, and this will remove all of the sadness and the groaning. But you see, the Jews had it, and they weren't happy. You're right. But that's why we're in exile. That's why we're in exile. The tefillah is constructed from the standpoint of the ideal. And we may not be on that ideal. Every Jew that talks about... there is a bit of an irony in Judaism, or in Jewish life, I should say, really in Jewish life, that we pray for a lot of things, but do we really mean it? Lashana haba b'Yerushalayim and... the implication is that we only want one thing, to return to Eretz Yisrael. And unfortunately, we don't have the opportunity to do so because of all the objective forces that are out there, and we want God to intervene and give us the opportunity to return. Well, 100 years ago, or 50 years ago, whatever the case is, so this, anyone can understand it. But today, it's a whole different ballgame. Someone talking. It's a whole different situation. And one, again, if a person wanted to be critical and overheard your prayer, the neutral observer, who wasn't afraid to ask, well, what are you praying for? Why don't you go? If you really wanted so badly, maybe God answered the prayer and gave you the opportunity, gave you the state of Israel. So you have the state of Israel. It's under Jewish control. Is anyone stopping you from going? Back now. Oh, so the point I want to make is that we still say that bracha, because it's written from the perspective of the ideal. And indeed, that's part of the objective of the tefillah, is to raise us to the level of the ideal. A lot of times a person asks for something, and then he says, well, he's very comfortable in chutzpah, you know, and in exile. Well, at least he gets him to think about it. Yeah. So, he's asking, what's the connection? What shaykhs does it have? Al-Kain Yer Yoser Nachon. Therefore, he says, what appears to be more correct. Sherotzalomer, that he wants to say, this is what the words mean. Vatoim. Shame Yisrael. The Toim, which basically means those who are in error. Okay. Shame Hamatichim Dvarim Bezeha Golos Ha'orach.
I didn't know what the word Matichim.
Yeah. Who say things. Who put forth... who say inappropriate things. But he's sort of being Malamek Schos because of the suffering of this lengthy Golos. So apparently, it's a reference to the fact that as a result of the lengthy Golos, certain faulty ideas have developed. People say foolish things. What do they say? She'ozav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Osam, that the God has abandoned them. V'einu mashgiach bam, and he doesn't supervise them. There's no hashgacha. Well, we're all familiar with this. Unfortunately, due to the sufferings, especially the severe ones like the Holocaust, that's one of the biggest arguments. I don't know whether that's the real underlying cause that people those who don't observe the Torah anymore, Judaism, but they'll certainly use that. Mm-hmm. People will always seize upon something as a rationalization. And maybe some people were actually broken by it. According to a person's understanding of Judaism, you're serving God, God protects you, so on and so forth. And this is sheer abandonment, would appear to be. It's a very complicated issue. But so he's saying that's what it's addressing. So let's continue. So the tefillah is saying, Yehi ratzon, may it be your will. This is what the tefillah was constructed. She yishpetu b'daitcha. That's what we should be judged with your das. Kolomar, b'yediyascha. B'yediyascha. It's you, b'daitcha is being used in a different sense, with your yediyah, that you should relate to us. The Ramban says that the term kiyadativ, this would be in line with the Ramban on Bereshis, where Hashem says, "Amachasani me Avram, Eisa Sharaniosa." Am I going to cover from Avram? That is God's intended plan to destroy Sodom and Amorah. Kiyadativ, what do you mean? For I have known him. And the Ramban, I don't have it right in front of me. The Ramban says it's an expression of I've known him, protected him, I've visited upon him my divine providence. So the term yadativ, to know someone, also has the sense to pay attention to that someone, to recognize. I've recognized. It's in the sense, not knowing is more in the sense of recognizing for the purpose of protecting. Yeah, I'm significant to you. In other words, it's a recognition which is because that person is significant and you want to take care of him. So that's what we're praying for. Kolomar b'yediyascha. Your idea, your recognition is a recognition of compassion. Again, it's another expression of chen, matnas chinom, consideration, compassion. Miloshan vayeda Elokim, and God knew. Doesn't mean God knew, God obtained new knowledge. It means that God recognized. Vizeh shoy omra navi. And this is what the Navi said, Aye kinascha ugvorasecha hamon me'ayech v'rachamecha elai hisapku. Idea. You see? He's connecting it to the bakasha of the Navi, where is your kina? Okay? Where's your kina? That is, where's God's against our enemies? Yeah. Against our enemies. Like you're our protector, and we wait, so that you'll intervene and have mercy on us. And it was Toa. I think it's. One second. The Amr b'makom acher lo matzamnu v'lo ra'isa anyenu. Okay, nafshenu. You see, why have we thirsted and not seen, and you have not seen the affliction of our souls, and not visited us, so to speak, remembered us. That's the idea. What he's trying to say is that the prayer arises, the request arises from that sense of abandonment. That people, because of these circumstances, people have come, they spew forth false ideas. That God has abandoned us. Okay, Beer, he explained. This is the explanation. Now he's going to sort of sum it up, what the idea is. Shem epnei histalkus rachmei Hashem, that because of the removal, because of the removal of the compassion of Hashem, anu toim bedrachav hatovim. See here again, toim. We are about his goodly ways. We make a mistake about God. That's the way we blame God. Notice again, right, Chait made the point that on Tisha B'Av, you have to be very, very careful when you formulate kinos. Because when you recount all of the terrible things that were visited upon the Jews, and especially in the later ones, you know, it comes into the Holocaust, you got to be very, very careful that it sort of spills over into complaints. And that's why in every, he wanted to say that every kina has to have tzedek hadin. That is, the underlying theme is that in spite of all this, we recognize that it's not any kind of a lack, any kind of deficiency, chas v'shalom, in God, or unfairness, or anything along those lines. It's, yeah, lanu bosh, l'cha Hashem ha-tzedakah, v'lanu bosh ha-panim. And it's very difficult for people to see that. But that's a fundamental of the Torah. Hatsur tamim pa'alo, ki chal derech of mishpat. Keil emuna v'yein aval, tzadik v'yashahu. And thus, but what about all the, so then you don't understand, you don't see. That's the, we've strayed from his paths, and all these things are spelled out in the Torah, what will happen when the Jews stray from his paths. And there's a phenomenon called Hester Panim, it's not even a punishment. It doesn't have to be a direct punishment. It's when God turns his attention, indeed, there you see the Yediyah, when God ceases to know us, to recognize us, so we're on our own. Which, for some people, might not be the worst thing in the world, because there's mazel, but there's ain't mazel Yisrael. The Jews are in a different situation, because we're in a hostile environment. It's always, whatever cause it is in the world that's out there, whatever they're fighting for, okay, we're on everybody's most targeted list. They could be this group of our Shia with the Sunni kid Haiti, but they all agree that the Jew has to go. Communists, fascists, Nazis, what? They accuse us of being communists, they accuse us, but they all agree on one thing. You understand what that means?
Yeah.
Well, when it comes to the Jew, the entire world is united. For others, it's a benevolent universe. For the Jew, it's never a benevolent universe. Kolomar, he goes even further, back to the, he says, Anu tovim bedrachav hatovim. We make a mistake about God's goodly ways. She'anu omrim shu achzari. We say that literally, that God is cruel. That's what people, either they say it or they think it. Shu ahepech mimidosav, which is absolutely contrary to his midos. Ki urachem v'chanim. Because he is merciful. V'chein anu misra'amim, and we also complain, she'eno roa, he doesn't see. We'll go even further. So people, in order to, you have a lot of these books anyways today, saying not necessarily to this kind of, but when bad things happen to good people, so then they come to other, and they don't want to blame God. They're nice people, they don't want to blame God. So then they come with that God is not aware of what's going on, so to speak. They deny the omniscience of God. She'ena roe v'ena yodea osanu barachmim. So he says, now v'zem mamish mashiniska b'birkas hashiva. So he's saying, now we can go to the bracha of hashiva. So he's saying, that's what we're saying. What are we saying in the bracha? She'yasir mimenu hayogon v'anacha. He says, that's the real essence of the tefillah. The real essence of the tefillah is that God should remove the groaning and the burden sheyeshlanu b'galus, that we experience in the galus. V'yimloch aleinu levado, and we should only be subject to his rule. Berachamim, b'tzedek, u'b'mishpat, with mercy, with, well, his rule is a rule of mercy, is a rule of righteousness, and is a rule of justice. V'heim drachav atovim, and those are his goodly ways. She'anu tovim atameihem. Now we are mistaken of them. We're distorted in that realm. This does not seem to be like Rashi, neither in the first pshat or in the second pshat. Atom biddaitcha. You see, the Rebbein Yonos, again, even the words v'atom biddaitcha, that is, those who are concerning your dea, but your yediyah, it means your recognition, your compassion, your ashkacha, so to speak. That's how he's focusing. V'atom biddaitcha. However, Rashi is using it al daitcha in the sense that they are with regard to the Torah, your ideas, so to speak, divine ideas of justice. So it's not like Rashi. According to Rashi's, we'll put aside Rashi's first pshat. The first pshat, the request is that those who sin should get mishpat. But Rashi rejected that. The second pshat is that the judges, we're praying for the restoration. That's the restoration. What is the restoration? It makes a lot of sense. In a simple, what's the restoration? Teach them. It doesn't mean like there's certain people that are gone and we're going to have to bring... They're here in every generation. But we're not on that level. So we're asking for God to teach them. There should be a learning renaissance, so to speak. If it's... there's a difficulty one can raise according to the Pshat of Rashi. Well, what does that mean? We're asking God to teach them. Does that presuppose that throughout the entire exile we never had the Gedolim that could judge? The time of the Rishonim and throughout. All right, this generation is considered to be a little bit difficult, you know, because, but the past generation had Gedolim, Gedol Yisrael. I mentioned that, one could say, the simple sense you get of reading it is that we're talking for a restoration of the Shoftim, because there's two things. There's one, people that have the knowledge, the Torah knowledge, to judge us. But, and we've had that. We've had Gedolim throughout all of Jewish history. People, the Rambam, Rashi, Tosa, whatever. I mean, Achronim, you can't mention all this, so many great, great Gedolim. That I don't think that's the focus. The simple sense is, but they're not the Shoftim and Yatsim because we don't have the system. So we don't have a Torah society. That's, you have to have two things. You have to have people who are capable, but then you have to have a system in which we live according to the Torah. But we're in exile, so we don't live according to the Torah in a minimal way. We don't have Sanhedrin. We don't have the authority. So that's what we want. We can't really live fully according to the Torah law because you need a system. You got that? Now, that doesn't seem to be what Rashi is saying, but the what about the pshat of Rabbeinu Yonah? What's difficult about that? What I find difficult about Rabbeinu Yonah is that it does correspond to those words of Yagon Vanacha, but the element of mishpat is not essential here. That is, according to Rashi, whether it's first shot or a second shot, the essence of the request is that we should have a restoration of the mishpat system. Hashiva shoftein kvar rishona. What we're saying, what would be most powerful? According to the way Rabbeinu Yonah is learning it, that's not what the request is for. The request is really to remove the yagon vanacha and that we should be restored. It's a restoration. It's a restoration of God's ways of tzedakah and mishpat should be revealed to the Jewish people, to the world. So the question is, what's the Hashiva Shoftein Kvar Rishona part? That seems to be the request. See, that's, so to speak, a bit of the tension in the bracha itself. Is the essence of the bracha a tefillah for the restoration of the justice system with the mishpatim and the shoftim? And Hasar Mimena Yoga and Vanacha is separate, that's the elaboration. Or no, Hasar Mimena Yoga and Vanacha is the essence. And the Shiva Shoftenik Varishona is an accent of that. That's not the essence is really the Yagon Vainacha. Umaloch Aleinu. That is to say, we're now subject to foreign rule. And being subject to foreign rule, it causes a big mistake about God's justice. Corrupt ideas about God's justice. So that's why the two go together according to this track. So the prayer is to once again bring us back bring us back under your divine protection. And then, through the mishpat that you lead us with, Malocha, and lead us, then we'll recognize that the real ways of Hashem are tzedakah mishpat. That's what the tefillah is. That man should recognize that Hashem is Hatzur Tamim Pa'alo, Kichol Derachav Mishpat, Kelemun Vein Avel. That's what the bracha is about. It's interesting. Support for this position can be found, that is to say, according to the Rabbeinu Yonah, the essence of the bracha is that we should recognize the true, quote-unquote, nature of Hashem. That God doesn't have a nature in the way we understand it, but the true nature of Hashem is Oev Tzedakah U'Mishpat. That is what. Interesting that in the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, we say HaMelech HaMishpat.
You see? About
not just that, Oev is one thing, but that's part of his essence, so to speak. That God's connection to Mishpat stems from his very essence. HaMelech HaMishpat. So that fits in very nicely with the way Rabbeinu Yonah is learning. But the problem is that man doesn't see the divine Mishpat. Man is blinded, and he can't see that. So he's Matir Dvarim. He just spews false things, strange things about God that aren't true, because he follows his own inclinations. And he doesn't want to recognize that everything stems from his own folly.